Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the healthcare you earned and deserve.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
Continuous coverage. We're live. We've got Tom Bowerly. We've got Joe Beamer. We have the brain of Walt Disney. We have it all. Jack O'Donnell is also here. Up-to-date election coverage. Polls close at 9 p.m. for a slew of more states. Some of these are rather obvious. Just kind of chalk them up. No one's going to fight on the hill over Massachusetts. That close call there. The Dakotas went to Trump, and everything else is being chopped up. But it's interesting, and I want to talk to Tom or Joe about this. News Nation, CNN, Fox News, big fight, and this is the first real election for News Nation. They're being super aggressive over at News Nation. They're not waiting around with a decision desk. They're calling states about 20 minutes before, and just as of 2 minutes ago, News Nation said they are 80-20 ready to call Georgia in the next 20 minutes. That's a really big deal.
Wow.
For an outfit like News Nation. What do you think about that?
Well, obviously getting their name out there, but if they're feeling confident, I mean, Georgia right now, you know, David, I love the there's one thing for the New York Times I love, and that's the New York Times needle. And right now they say there's a 77% chance that Trump's going to win Georgia. And if Georgia's
84%.
You got
his electoral estimate just on the New York Times site alone just moved to 282. But that's just, I'm following the same thing you are.
You got to feel, I mean, if you're Team Trump right now, these numbers coming in, you got to feel good.
And not only that, you got to look back at 2020 if you want to catch up. Understand, Democrats won the early vote, Republicans won Election Day. The argument here was, did the Republicans siphon off their Election Day turnout? Are the Democrats able to bring the vote out on Election Day? And when you look at these numbers from 2020, almost every single major demo that they need are just 8%, 12%, 14% lower than they were in 2020, with areas that are about 96, 95% accounted. And all eyes are on Pennsylvania. And if you see the same trends there, well, that'll be really tough to take. What do you think about that, Tom?
David
or Jack, I'm sorry. Jack O'Donnell, is he still with us?
We don't have him on the line right now. He will be joining us momentarily. We'll be joined by Jim Ryan. And David, I want your thoughts on this. You mentioned the early voting. How important is that to Republicans to flip this thing from 2020 and to gain in the Senate that it looks like they're doing? How important was getting that message out and reversing the message from years past for Republicans?
Okay, so let's look at what the numbers tell us about the exit polls of the early voters. They're looking at about 40% of these as people that did not vote for Donald Trump previously. Previously. That's a whole new group of voters that you found just for this election. Now, are these new Republicans? Are these just disenfranchised American citizens going through a bad economy, dealing with all the different problems with immigration? That is a very compelling number. That number is 36, 40%. South Carolina, the numbers are pretty high. North Carolina, you're seeing the same thing. So the question was, how many of these voters came from Election Day, the true blue, I call them the Carhartt Mafia, right? Those are the guys that come out and they put their work boots on and they vote for Trump in a pickup truck in Pennsylvania. What group said, I'm not doing this. I'm sitting this one out. What protest vote? Again, when you look at Michigan, understand that, you know, there's a cross-section. The third party in Michigan, if that number is higher than any other state that has a third party candidate, that's a protest vote from Arab Americans, Muslim Americans. New York Times has officially called Texas, by the way, as being in the Trump ledger, and more states to come as that happens. But right now, you know, it's constructing like every single Republican map that you've seen before. There are no surprises here. Florida is red. Texas is red. Oklahoma, Indiana, Ohio, West Virginia, Kentucky. What happens with Virginia, North Carolina, Georgia, and Pennsylvania? And even if Virginia goes the way the polls say it's going to go, is it a 9-point, 11-point lead? Is it that 4-3-point lead? That's what Trump took Florida by. If Trump is losing in Virginia by 3 or 4 points, I think that's the canary to tell you what's going to happen in Arizona and Nevada and Pennsylvania.
And we'll be keeping our eyes on all that. David and I are now joined by ABC's Jim Ryan. I usually talk to Jim before he goes on with Susan and Brian, but now we're here on the air together. Jim, happy Election Day.
Hey, good morning, Joe.
Looking at this, Jim, you are taking a look at some of the key Senate races, and you're there in Dallas. Let's start with that one. The Ted Cruz, Colin Allred got a lot of attention nationwide. Where does that stand right now?
Well, it did because so much money was spent on it, something like $150 million between the two of them spent on this. And a lot of that money, of course, coming in from outside of the state altogether, Joe. I mean, places that, you know, like New York and California dumping money into the Colin Allred campaign. Ted Cruz getting a lot of support from Florida and from other red areas, hoping that to keep him in office for a third term in the Senate. When the first votes came in, the early votes, those that were cast absentee, Colin Allred had a huge lead, a landslide lead over Ted Cruz. Well, as more votes were counted, as more of the precincts were coming in, that flipped. Now at 57% of the vote has been counted here in Texas, and Ted Cruz has a 51.7 to 46.3 lead over Colin Allred, the Democrat who's currently in the House.
Jim, the other gains, obviously, they picked up West Virginia. That was no question there. Where else are we looking to see possible switches throughout the nation in the Senate?
Well, hard to say. I mean, at this point, I mean, we're still counting votes out there. Florida has easily gone to Rick Scott. He's holding on to that seat for the Republicans. In Ohio, we may see things flip there. Sherrod Brown, the Democrat, is losing currently to Bernie Moreno, the Republican in that race. So that may, turn things around there in Ohio. So, yeah, there are still a lot of votes to be counted. In most states that have closed their polls, we're still looking at only 50 or 60% of the votes counted, Joe.
Jim, you've covered some election days as my time here at WBEN. Were you, being in the media, were you excited for this day to come?
Well, yeah, sure. I mean, it's always there's a big buildup to it, and certainly, like any other citizen, you know, you're inundated with ads on radio and television, and on the internet, your Facebook feed, you're seeing all sorts of things. So all of that comes to an end tomorrow. If that's not exciting, I don't know what is, Jim.
Jim, you know, every year we hear this, and obviously this won't be the year for it, that Texas is going to become a purple state when it comes to the presidential race, right? We've heard that Beto O'Rourke was going to make Texas a purple state with his popularity when he ran against Ted Cruz. In your opinion, you're there in Dallas. What are the Democrats missing? Why do we hear this? And then the closer we get to Election Day, that talk kind of winds down.
Well, it's hard to say. You know, I'm not sure what it is that that actually keeps that from happening. But you're right. For the last 12, maybe 16 years or so, I've been hearing that the Democrats saying that Texas is going to become a purple state and then eventually blue again for most of the time since Reconstruction, all the way up through the mid-1980s and into the 90s, it was a solidly Democrat-leading state here. You know, it was consistently backing the Democrats. Well, that hasn't happened in a long time. Texas hasn't supported a Democratic presidential candidate since Jimmy Carter in 1976. Hasn't had a Democrat win a statewide race here in 30 years. So, I mean, for Colin Allred to defeat Ted Cruz or for any Democrat to do well on the statewide level here, it would be a historic, you know, be a sea change.
Jim, my final question for you, because you know it's something we always look for. What is the what's the food of choice in the newsroom on election night?
Pizza, of course.
Pizza. Is there good pizza in Texas?
No, not at all.
Well, Jim, it's always great catching up with you, and I hope you have some caffeine to get you through the night.
All right, I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Thank you. Yes, Jim. Jim Ryan, ABC News. Jim Ryan. Trump. David, as that was going on, we saw the New York Times needle switch to leaning Trump. What are they seeing that these numbers are starting to go the way they are?
Pennsylvania, suburban numbers. We're getting exit polling out. This was something that Joe Biden took by 10 points. And you realize how much of a narrow victory Joe Biden had in Pennsylvania. That's when the Philadelphia machine came out. The return on outstanding absentee ballots was almost 100% in major metropolitan areas. Not only do you not have that this time, the suburban vote, exit polling is showing that Harris only is winning that by plus six instead of plus 10. That's a suburban vote in Pennsylvania. So the question is, do they have enough in the city to make up for the lack of interest in suburban areas? Now, if you go over to North Carolina and Georgia, you're seeing the same problem. The cities aren't pulling the weight because of the lack of interest in suburban voting. Right now, obviously, New York has just been called by the Associated Press for Harris. That's on her agenda. Fox is a little bit ahead of everyone else. They've got Trump at 195 electoral votes, Kamala Harris at 113. Of course, it's the race to 270. But this Georgia race is about, I don't know, they're waiting on one or two outlying counties that are in the south. Near Columbus, Muskogee, and Doherty. If that lead can hold up, I mean, she would literally have to win that by 80% with over 100,000. I'm sorry, she would need 50,000 votes, and she would have to take those counties at numbers that are better. Let's put it this way. If Kamala Harris in Georgia performs the way that Joe Biden does from here on out, she loses the state of Georgia. She has to outperform 2020 Joe Biden to win Georgia. In North Carolina, right now, it's only half of the vote is in. But if you look at the areas that you're expecting to see Kamala Harris jump off the charts, it's Wake County. We expect her to do really well in Durham County, Orange County, and Mecklenburg. Those numbers have to be off the charts to be 2020-esque numbers, because she is underperforming in all the surrounding areas in North Carolina. And then, of course, you move up to Virginia, which you know very well.
Yeah.
I can't get over these numbers in, what's that, Richmond County. Go over to Norfolk, Roanoke, Prince William County. Fairfax County as well. You know, that's 70% of the vote in Fairfax. You know, underperforming. Again, it's that 35,000, 40,000 vote difference that if you can't grab that in the areas that you need it, in your dark blue areas, you can't make up for the rest of the state, which is pretty red.
You talk about to win Georgia, to win Carolina, she has to outperform Biden in the remaining vote. But nowhere, unless I'm not seeing it, David, nowhere has she yet on this election night outperformed Biden.
There have been some areas, Georgia, South Georgia. She's done a little bit better. There's a great on the New York Times thing. You could hit the shift from 2020 and see the little arrows. There's Paulding County, Douglas County. Both in Douglas, she won. She did 6 points better than Biden. And in Paulding County, she did about 5 points better than Biden. But she lost Paulding County by 30%. So, I mean, she got crushed in that county, but she did perform better than Biden. There's three counties, Rockdale as well. She's outperforming Joe Biden by 7 points in Rockville. Outside of that, there are nothing but big, thick blue arrows. And they show you pretty much that if there's anyone that's done better than 2020 so far, it's Donald Trump. A lot of that is early vote. And as the vote comes in today on Election Day, North Carolina is looking like it's starting to slip. And for the first time, we have Donald Trump in the lead in Virginia, Also, the Republican running against Tim Kaine, he's in the lead in Virginia. This is, I mean, this is only 60% of the vote in. But that's a really big deal for Cal to be anywhere close to Kaine. That would be a real shocker.
Wow. Keeping the eyes on that. Carl Calabrese is back, part of our coverage. You heard David Bellavia. Carl, it's been about an hour since we saw you leave the studio. In the numbers we are getting, what are you seeing as we see more and more polls close?
Well, I think the analysis David has been doing and is doing is really insightful about the movement of different demographic groups and the change between now and Biden. It really, right now, it's certainly looking pretty good at this point in the evening. Obviously, there's a lot of votes to be counted. But I imagine if you're in the Trump headquarters, you're feeling pretty good right about now.
We also saw the exit polls, David. We talked about the Georgia one. The CNN Georgia exit poll said 25% of the black male vote was going to Trump. In Wisconsin, NBC News did an exit poll, and it says about 20% of the black vote going to Trump. He only got 8% of the black vote in 2020. It seems like with African Americans, Trump is going to outperform or get the best performance of any Republican presidential candidate.
Osceola County in Florida is a county that self-identifies as 38% Puerto Rican, and it's one of the largest Puerto Rican counties per capita in the United States. Kamala Harris finished worse than Hillary Clinton in a county with 38% Puerto Ricans in it. I mean, when every single thing we've been told by the media has been complete, if you want to talk about a mirage, none of these numbers are holding up. Donald Trump is right now in the lead in Palm Beach County, and he's won Miami-Dade by 150,000 votes.
Wow.
The city of Miami voted for Donald Trump 150,000 more votes than Kamala Harris. And right now, as we look at the Senate map, nobody on their bingo board had Kaine in a race that he would be trailing with 75% of the vote being counted against an absolute nobody. In as far as the Republican Senate slate goes, no one was looking at Virginia as a race to watch.
That's correct, David. I've been following these Senate races for months. It was on no one's radar screen that this could be a competitive race and Kaine was under any going to be any in danger at all. So that would really be striking if that happened.
And in Virginia, a state where the Republican Party probably, because of what Virginia has become, probably didn't spend as much money as Tim Kaine as well, right? I mean, probably got outspent in the final weeks leading to the election.
No question. There's going to be a huge disparity in campaign expenditures in that race. But, you know, again, I've been in politics all my life. Money is important, but it ain't the only thing. You've got to spend it properly. You've got to have the right message. You've got to have the right candidate. Money by itself is just one leg of a three-legged stool. You got to have the message and you got to have the messenger. This Senate candidate, this Republican Senate candidate, David, I believe he's a former Navy SEAL. Am I correct?
Yeah, I think he's definitely a veteran.
Yeah, definitely a veteran. So he was, I've seen him and he's a very articulate, very attractive candidate. And, if they pick up.
We'll see. We got a lot of vote left there. But again, the thing that I think is odd about this race in particular compared to 2020 is that the major metropolitan areas are coming in way early. And I don't know if this has to do with maybe that this is a Helene thing, Carl, if this is because of the storm, the floods, but at least when you look at North Carolina and Western Kentucky, when you look at the Georgia numbers and now Virginia's numbers, these urban centers are flooding really quick and early. And it gives it a whole lot more perspective of how you can call this thing just based on turnout from the rest that hasn't reported.
Oh, that's right. You know, as I said yesterday with Brian and Susan in the morning, if the Democrat machines in these large urban areas produce like they have in the past, they can overwhelm a state, just like New York City's vote can overwhelm the rest of the state. If she's underperforming in those big urban areas, that has the makings of electoral votes going to Donald Trump, no question about it. This is now about getting the vote out. And as I said, if the Republicans
can produce a get-out-the-vote program on Election Day as good as they produced the early mail-in vote and the early in-person vote leading up to Election Day, Donald Trump will win. He'll win comfortably, and he'll embarrass a lot of pollsters.
David, for the obviously we've been talking so much about this could take days. This could take days. And when will we see and where will we see the votes slow down from where they are right now?
Well, again, I don't think you're going to get more than 90% back. But it's not going to be a large municipality. It's going to be tied up with a lot of these, you know, some of these counties have, there's Georgia counties, for example, that aren't complying with the state counting standards. So those states are, those counties will not be reporting. The question is, how many votes are we talking? What's the difference going to be? Right now, Donald Trump has about a 250,000 vote lead with 76% of the vote in Georgia. And again, northern Georgia is his stronghold. That's the area that Donald Trump is going to dominate. If that's at 54% and your big suburban, urban population counties are at 80%, that's showing you, well, if this trend continues in northern Georgia, that's why News Nation, if they haven't called it already, they're 80% ready to call that race in particular. North Carolina in the last 20 minutes has shifted over at 60% of the vote to leaning R. And the reason for that is Forsyth and Buncombe County and Wake County. And again, underperformance of 2020, overperformance of the areas that surround those blue areas. And of course, Virginia, now it looks like Kane is jumped back to a little bit of a lead. But that state in particular, I mean, for 60% of the vote to be in and Trump, you know, with basically a 50,000 vote lead, those urban centers are 75% counted. The rest of it is on the outside. Do those people show up on Election Day? And I think the answer will be, if men show up on Election Day, Trump's your president-elect tonight. If men don't, I think, you know, Harris wins this race.
That is David Bellavia. You heard Carl Calabrese. More after this. It is live election coverage on News Radio 930 WBEN.
Want to teach your kids financial literacy but not sure where to start? Greenlight can help. With Greenlight, parents can keep an eye on kids' spending and saving, while kids and teens use a card of their own to build money confidence. As a parent, you can send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and more. It's a convenient way to run your household, customized to your family's needs, and the easy way to raise financially smart kids. Get started with Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the health care you earned and deserve.
And we are back. It is election night 2024 here on News Radio 930 WBEN. It is my pleasure to be joined by David Bellavia, Carl Calabrese, and Jack O'Donnell. And we will be here throughout the night, so don't touch that dial. Don't tell Alexa to turn off, and don't turn off that Odyssey app. This is the one place you need to be. You know, we've been talking so much about Senate, and maybe this wasn't really on anyone's radar, but, you know, there was some attention, especially early on, with the race in Maryland, David. But Larry Hogan, the former governor, has been defeated, and that seat will remain Democrat. Just one that I know didn't get a lot of talk leading up to Election Day, but some people were saying could possibly with Larry Hogan's popularity. But that did not happen, and that seat will stay blue.
Democrat the stronger Democrat won. I want to thank the GOP of Dane County in Wisconsin for helping us out and getting us into their board so we could see the results a little bit closer. Dane County is where Madison, Wisconsin is located. That is something we're looking at, about 40% of the votes in right now. And we're looking at Milwaukee County in Wisconsin. Those are the two areas that you're looking at for population base. Now, the reason why so many people are starting to turn on Georgia is because you're looking at from Fulton County, Atlanta, to Mecklenburg in North Carolina. And we saw this in Miami-Dade and other places too. Urban areas, New Orleans. You're seeing Kamala Harris about 4%, in this case in Fulton County, it's 45,000 votes, different off than Joe Biden. So she starts off in a very tightly contested state like Georgia, and she's 45,000 votes down in a county she desperately needs all those votes. Now you go to North Georgia, counties that nobody's ever heard of, Catoosa, Whitfield, Murray, Fannin, Gilmer, Union, all these different areas, Murray County. These are maybe 35,000 votes in each county. But Donald Trump in all of those northern counties of Georgia and Murray County, he's up 3,000 votes than he was in 2020 with 99% in. Whitfield, he's up 7,000 votes than he was in 2020. Union County, 3,500 votes more than 2020. You've got a candidate picking up more votes than he did in 2020, and a candidate underperforming what a Democrat did in the very bedrock of what she needs to win. This is why News Nation and so many other people are saying that Georgia looks 95% certain to go to Donald Trump. And unfortunately for Team Harris, when it comes to North Carolina, she has that same problem in North Carolina. What I don't think anyone expected was Virginia to be this close, and for Donald Trump to continue to gain votes in Northern Virginia, where Fairfax is, and third-party candidates. Again, you think, is that what's happening in Michigan with the Arab vote, with the Muslim vote? Are the third-party candidates a vote like in the Democratic primary were to abstain vote, essentially? Fascinating stuff, but Georgia and North Carolina are starting to turn.
Yes, and the betting markets, David, which you know I keep my eye on, really going in Trump's favor right now. According to Kalshi, he's got a 73% chance, and that's the betting markets, but they have seen that spike over the last few minutes. It is live election coverage here on News Radio 930 WBEN. Jack O'Donnell is back with us. Carl Calabrese is with us. Jack, it's been a while since we heard from you, about an hour with the numbers coming in. How are you feeling right now, and how do you think Team Harris is feeling at this point in the night?
Well, I think we're all thinking it remains very, very early. I hear everything you're saying about these numbers coming in, what those mean. But we're also seeing, some larger turnouts in some of the urban areas. So we need to see some of those come in. No surprise that the rural areas are coming in first, and that's definitely giving Donald Trump a lead, but I think there's a long way to go.
Carl Calabrese with us as well. And Carl, we've talked so much about the numbers coming in. We've talked about this station calling that. I want to ask you this question, and David, also for you as well, but we'll start with Carl. When Lawrence O'Donnell at 8 o'clock is complaining about the Electoral College, is there something he knows that we don't?
Well, something he may not know it, but he may feel it. I would expect that you're going to hear more about eliminating the Electoral College as we go forward, especially if Donald Trump loses the popular vote. I hear it all the time from people, and I have to remind them that we are not a democracy. We are a republic. Our founders did not want a pure democracy. They thought it would be dangerous. And we don't elect presidents by popular vote. We elect them by states because states have a role in the formation of the federal government. I mean, but this kind of stuff is just not even taught anymore to kids. And so, you know, you've got kind of a knee-jerk reaction. Yes, let's do away with the electoral vote. And the other thing I like to remind people is that, you know, is Joe Biden won the presidential election in 2020 by 7 million popular votes, right? He got 2 million of that plurality from New York State, and he got 5 million of that plurality from California. So I tell people, if you are comfortable with New York and California picking your presidents, then do away with the Electoral College and see what you get. Be careful what you wish for. You may get it.
We got some news from the AP, and David, I'll start with you. New York Proposition 1 has passed. Your reaction?
I think it's going to go to the Supreme Court of the United States. Unfortunately, I don't know what to believe in New York State. Our propositions pass, and then our governor unilaterally works and overrides a proposition. And then when this proposition goes through, I just think there's going to be a lot of problems and a lot of issues. But it's the law of the land, and we follow the law. But I think the courts are going to have a few whacks at this one.
Jack O'Donnell, your thoughts on Proposition 1? It got a lot of attention. You had a lot of ads out there that were just about Proposition 1. Your thoughts on it passing here in New York?
Well, I don't think it's a big surprise. I know I know an effort came in pretty strongly to try to criticize it, but it really is so vaguely written and sort of hard to understand. And you know, then Democrats put some money behind it. So not a big surprise to me that it passed. I think you guys are right that the devil will be in the details and the interpretation.
Live election coverage. By the way, also, yeah, Kirsten Gillibrand has won. I don't think there was much of a surprise there. But Michael Sapercone, he was one heck of a campaigner. I'm not going to lie. That guy was all over the state. He came on the station a few times, and I look forward to seeing him behind home plate. He's got season tickets six rows up at Citi Field. But, Carl, what did you think? Go ahead.
I want to put this in real quick. Let's get Carl's take on this. I want to talk about Cobb County in Georgia, Fulton County, and of course DeKalb County. Right, these are the three largest population bases around Atlanta: Cobb, Fulton, and DeKalb. Now, these were all carried by Joe Biden. Joe Biden got about 224,000 votes in Cobb. He got 380 in Fulton. And he got 308,000 in DeKalb. Now, as of right now, with 90% of the vote counted, she hasn't broken 200,000 in Cobb. She's 193. Fulton County is at 318, and DeKalb is at 254. She's literally 100 and, you know, she's looking at 68,000, 50,000, 40,000. That is what she's off with 10% left to come in. She's got to recover 110,000 votes that what Joe Biden has, and she's still behind 300,000 votes when the day started. I mean, that's mathematically, that's a really tough lift in the last 10%.
Carl?
Joe, is Carl there?
Yeah. Can I just go back to the Proposition 1 again? Jack sure. O'Donnell mentioned that it's kind of a vaguely worded proposition, and he's absolutely right. And it was done that way on purpose because I believe this is, you know, the first act of a two-act play that the left is going to be acting in. You get this kind of vaguely worded proposition that is labeled equal rights. You get that passed. And then the devil's in the details, and those details will be decided not by the legislatures and elected representatives, but by the courts. And the left knows that when you get into the court system in New York State, a very left-leaning, progressive-leaning court system, you're going to win the majority of those cases. So this will be an unfolding story going forward, and there's a lot more shoes to fall in fleshing this whole thing out. But I think it's going to produce some really very controversial rulings in the future.
You know, David, with Georgia and the polls that were extended because of threats in the state, what kind of vote are we expecting from those districts when it comes in?
Well, the one area had about 13,000 votes for Biden. And then the Chatham area, I think, was 78,000. Unfortunately, there was like seven threats today that were all over the state, and they believe the FBI is saying it had a Russian email. So they're looking into that. But they all turned out to be bogus. They gave them some extra time. But if you go to, like, say, Chatham County, Biden brought in about 78,000 votes and won that county. If you go to it currently, right now, they haven't. They just closed because they're at 6%. The rest of the area, the rest of the state is about 90%. Second place would be some of the middle areas north of Macon. They're rural areas. They're about, they haven't returned anything yet in some of those spots. And again, you know, one of the things that you talk about, the early return coming in mostly rural, that was not the case in North Carolina. In North Carolina and Virginia, the urban areas are really pouring in, and they poured in really early and continued to build up in a lot of these surrounding areas. That's why it's really, to Jack's credit, and it's true, obviously, is that even at 70, 80%, some of these races are going to be far too close to call because you don't necessarily know the type of turnout you're going to get with 5% outstanding in some of these counties. But again, the reason why so many people are talking about Georgia as being something that is Trump's to lose is that it would almost be unprecedented for the 10% outstanding in your three largest populated counties is going to exceed 50% of the vote that came out today. I mean, that's insane. But if that happens, it happens. You know, it's still, anything can happen here, but that's stretching it.
You know, looking at Georgia, David, and it seems, I mean, 80% chance, according to the New York Times, he's going to win Georgia. What was different in Georgia in 2024 than 2020? Because Biden won that state. He broke the streak. Trump could win it.
This is all Brian Kemp. 100% Brian Kemp. Donald Trump fought in 2020 without the governor. And this time he got the governor. And he got Brian Kemp's ground game. And Brian Kemp, he fought Stacey Abrams. He fought the entire machine in Georgia. He dealt with the All-Star Game and all that nonsense about the voting laws and Jim Crow 2.0. And he is one of I think he's a person you've got to consider for 2028. No matter what happens tonight, Brian Kemp is in that small pool of everything he touches, he turns to gold. The difference between 24 and 2020 is Governor Brian Kemp.
And we saw that that endorsement he gave, and you know, Kemp got out and campaigned for Trump, like you said, a lot different than in.
He turned over the whole team. He turned over the whole state. I mean, all Brian Kemp's machine avoided Trump in 2020, and he still almost won. Brian's Kemp machine actually is on the ground right now, and I think it's making the difference as of now.
Jack O'Donnell, we were talking Electoral College and did not give you an opportunity to give your thoughts from the other side of the aisle on the Electoral College. What are your thoughts, regardless of what happens tonight, what are your thoughts about the Electoral College and should it be used to decide the president?
Absolutely. I mean, I'm a constitutionalist. I'm all for the Electoral College. I would love to see New York do what Nebraska and Maine do and allocate a lot of these votes by congressional district and then have the winner get two and really make, you know, that would make a lot of these states and different communities, including ours, matter a lot more. But I am not for abolishing the Electoral College.
Well, Jack, listening to Beamaz and Beamer this morning, that's one thing we were suggesting, and I think that would be a great idea to split the state up, at least make our vote mean a little something in the presidential races. It is election coverage, the election we've all been waiting for here on News Radio 930 WBEN. The numbers are coming in. We've got David Bellavia, Carl Calabrese, Jack O'Donnell breaking the numbers all down with you, and I will give you one non-political note. There will be no victory as decisive as the Buffalo Sabres tonight, as on election day they defeat the Senators 5-1. I am a big fan of the betting markets and of the New York Times needle. Right now, the New York Times needle has Trump with a 71% chance to win the presidency. Don't want to put too much stock in that, David, but that needle keeps on moving in his direction as we keep talking.
And I just want to put out as a public service, we can never have the electoral college conversation as anyone who pretends to know anything about our nation's history, because if you get rid of the Electoral College, you have to get rid of the U.S. Senate. It was the compromise of Ellsworth and Sherman to give us a Senate that had two equal representatives, no matter how big you were, and a House of Representatives to give us a bicameral legislative branch was based on population. That's how we got the Electoral College. If you get rid of the Electoral College, you also get rid of the U.S. Senate, and we just have a president and we have a House of Representatives. And then the population is what controls the country. I mean, this is, to me, it's one of the more frustrating conversations to have, because it's just void of any understanding of how we were founded.
No, absolutely correct. And it's funny, because after 2016, you heard a lot of people like Lawrence O'Donnell try to make that argument, David, but you're absolutely correct.
Yeah, but I agree with Jack. I'll take any opportunity to agree with Jack or Carl, our two experts. Let me ask you this question right now. Jack O'Donnell and Carl Calabrese, what do you have to do to get on a decision desk? Like, what are the credentials here? Like, how are these people able to make these calls? Do you remember when Fox News waited on Florida and then just dropped acid and jumped Arizona? They lost all their jobs. I think they all got fired from that.
Yeah. You know, David, tonight could be very interesting, because it may turn out that the bettors and the bookies may be more accurate than the pollsters and the projection desk people. Wait to see how that comes in.
I think we all know that the best analysts are on WBEN.
Right. There you go.
That's right. Absolutely.
They are the best. I love that. But as far as like when you make a call like that, I didn't realize there's consequence. There's never consequence for someone who picks the wrong team on Sunday for the CBS, you know, pregame show on football. You know, no one is like, we had to let Boomer Esiason go. He picked the Chiefs to lose against the, you know, like, they don't ever hold them accountable. The decision desk, you get that wrong, you're done.
Well, the stakes are pretty high at this level. And when you get to that peak in network news where you're on the decision desk and it's the Super Bowl of elections, the presidential election every 4 years, and you screw up, there's not another game next Sunday that you can make up for it. You've got to wait 4 years, and there's not that kind of patience in network news anymore. So, you know, live by the sword,
Jack,
die by the sword.
Jack, I'm trying to think, what was a bigger mess up in history? All those poor newspaper people that thought Dewey had it in the bag and said Dewey's going to be Truman, or when they projected George W. Bush was the president when that clearly was undecided. If you compare the two, what was the bigger oops, I made a mistake?
Well, I think it was probably the Bush decision, right? For although there were some headlines on Dewey defeating Truman, there were other papers that got that right, and the world was moving at a little different speed then.
But on the other hand, that picture of Truman holding up the paper,
iconic,
is iconic. It is an iconic photo. There's no such moment with the W. Bush projection, but boy, that image of Truman with smiling, holding up that "I told you so" headline is classic.
I think we all know where we were when we heard about the Brooks Brothers riot. You know, I think whatever that was, the yuppies that stormed the gates of West Palm at the courthouse, that was chaos. That went on and on and on. This one hopefully doesn't have that, but if you look at some of these, one thing I think we can all agree on, we got to look at the way we count these votes.
Yes.
If blockchain can protect our digital currency, can't we agree that I can use my phone to vote and it can't be that much of a secret?
Why can't...
How about Pennsylvania? How about Pennsylvania just changing the law to do what Florida does? Count and tabulate all of the early and mail-in votes before Election Day, and then when Election Day comes, all you have to do is add the total of the machine vote with the pre-counted early vote, and you got your results. This is just baffling to me on why they can't do that.
Yeah, I Florida got those votes in so quickly, and here we are. We're being told that Pennsylvania, we could be waiting. We could be waiting days. David Bellavia, Carl Calabrese, Jack O'Donnell. My name's Joe Beamer. We have a lot more election coverage up next after an update from ABC and our very own Tom Puckett. You are listening to live, continuous Election Day coverage. Oh, the buildup is built up. I was trying to be clever there. It did not work out. On News Radio 930 WBEN.
Want to teach your kids financial literacy, but not sure where to start? Greenlight can help. With Greenlight, parents can keep an eye on kids' spending and saving, while kids and teens use a card of their own to build money confidence. As a parent, you can send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and more. It's a convenient way to run your household, customized to your family's needs, and the easy way to raise financially smart kids. Get started with Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the healthcare you earned and deserve.